How to heal. One method that works when applied scientifically. Mary Baker Eddy begins Science and Health with three quotations. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from John 8:32. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's from Shakespeare. And from Mary Baker Eddy herself, Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The first paragraph of the preface is as follows. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. The wakeful shepherd beholds the first faint morning beams, ere cometh the full radiance of a risen day. So shone the pale star to the prophet shepherds, yet it traversed the night, and came where, in cradled obscurity, lay the Bethlehem babe, the human herald of Christ's truth, who would make plain to benighted understanding the way of salvation through Christ Jesus, till across a night of error should dawn the morning beams and shine the guiding star of being. The wise men were led to behold and to follow this day star of divine science, lighting the way to eternal harmony. Mary Baker Eddy makes it clear that one must be aware that we must know the truth in order for it to make us free. Know, meaning understand. And Shakespeare, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So our thinking obviously has a direct impact on how we can be made free. And then her quote about, this is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere, it is omnipresent. So the opportunity is omnipresent. And obviously the only way it could be omnipresent is if it is within consciousness, because she is quoting Shakespeare, who says there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So what one sees, hears, feels, tastes, or smells is generic without any character. And it is our thinking that gives it character. Our thought. Our consciousness. Obviously, that is within. And therefore, from an individual standpoint, it is omnipresent. Please keep in mind that this is both conscious and unconscious thought. In other words, both individual and universal belief and individual understanding and universal understanding all have an impact. This is one of the reasons why it's very important to protect one's thought from universal belief. To root out universal belief from consciousness and fill it with the counterfact for the specific belief, whatever it may be. Frederick Rawson one of the finest Christian Science practitioners that was in the early 1900s, wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in it, he covers 1,315 topics, providing both the universal belief and the counterfact, which is scientific, based on his advanced understanding of Christian Science. His understanding was so advanced that he discovered and formulated retroactive treatment. He refers often to one listening to the truth and regrouping the thoughts, and then, of course, reflecting them out into the atmosphere of universal thought. He was the catalyst for over 500 retroactive healings. From the understanding gained in studying his works, there has been nothing seen that is in conflict with anything at all that Mary Baker Eddy has stated in her writings. And that includes both published and unpublished writings. When a thought first occurred about the topic of this recording, the first message that came to the surface was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it is stated to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's quoted from the King James Version and from J.B. Phillips, which I refer to constantly. It states, "Be happy in your faith at all times. Never stop praying. Be thankful whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ." It is very clear to anyone who has studied anything at all about Mary Baker Eddy that she was a Bible student without comparison. She was a frail individual physically, apparently starting at birth. Her pursuit was wide and far in an attempt to gain healing from this condition. Her search was far and wide, but it wasn't until 1866, at her age of some 40 years, according to the human calendar, that she was enlightened to the point where she actually saw real healing. It is critical to realize that on page 146 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, that she made this emphatic statement: divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. That's in the chapter on science, theology, and medicine. So she's giving the medicine. She's giving the correct theology. And obviously, she's giving the science. For those who do not realize this, she revised Science and Health from the time it was first published in 1875 to the final edition in 1910, 431 times. So there are 432 editions of Science and Health. And it wasn't until in the 1900s that she read it from beginning to end for the first time. And when she did, she realized that the chapters needed to be reorganized. And she reorganized them in a manner that then clarified that this is a system that is available for the earnest student. And by earnest, I mean that because she stated to one of her top assistants, Laura Sargent, who was one of the select few that she permitted to live in her home with her, both at Pleasant View in Concord, New Hampshire, and in the Back Bay of Boston in Chestnut Hill. And she stated, after she arranged the final chapter arrangement to Laura, she says, "It's done. I have hidden it so well that if I hide it any more, it will never be found." And she indicated at that time it would be another 50 years before people would begin to see the light of day. And not only was that true, but it took another 2 or 3 decades before some very important facets of the system to come to light. In her book, Christ and Christmas, which is deemed to be her most advanced work, she left the final illustration blank, totally blank. That was to open the door from what she had developed to infinity. No limit. The science of Christianity, the science of the Bible, Christian Science itself, has an open door for discovery to infinity. When the bureaucracy in Boston, in her later years, put a statement in the publication that they were establishing a committee for authorized literature, as soon as she discovered what they had done, she sent an errata sheet to be inserted in every single copy at all the reading rooms, all the churches, and it was intended to be for anyone that had a copy of that edition of the publication, stating that she felt everyone had the intelligence to make their own decision on what they should read or not read. And everyone should have the freedom to do that. Indicating that it was a big mistake what the bureaucracy at the church had done behind her back. And she totally disapproved of it. She also had stated that Christian Science is so vast that it is impossible to confine it. That is not intended to mean in any way, shape, or form that the definitions that she has stated or the rules and laws that are deduced from those statements are confining in any way. And in fact, in words that are used to describe the city of God, the city four square, that she refers to in Science and Health, and which is connected to the statements in Revelation of the Bible, in her very definition of God, in the chapter on recapitulation, chapter 14 of Science and Health, on page 465, she states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That is fixed in concrete. And it's only the individual discovery of the truth already revealed that is infinite. It's like the astronomers that discover new universes. They didn't create them. They were already there. And thought has just expanded to where it will accept a greater dimension than previously discovered, meaning previously accepted. Some very interesting things about pray without ceasing is that the chapter on prayer is the very first chapter in Science and Health. And in the chapter on Christian Science practice, what does one think is the very first topic that is discussed? It is love. It is the story of Jesus being entertained by Simon the Pharisee. And this unknown woman by the name of Mary, with a background that did not represent the purity of spirit. Everyone but Jesus was wondering how she got in there, why she was there, and why would he let her even come close to him? If Mary Baker Eddy thinks that love and the qualities of forgiveness and recognition of regeneration are important enough to make that the first lesson for anyone who wants to practice Christian Science, whether for themselves or in treating others, doesn't matter, because it's all within individual consciousness, the individual that is supposed to be doing the treating, not someone else's consciousness. That's not the concern. We have to take the mote out of our own eye before we can even see a need for the speck in someone else's. And again, that's not our duty. Our duty is our own consciousness. It is El Numero Uno, absolutely number one. One can't even begin to have a treatment of themselves, which is number one, to clean out the cobwebs in consciousness about whatever the problem may seem to be, unless they start with realizing the importance of love, forgiveness, tolerance, perseverance, everything that relates to love, humility, caring, consideration. The book by Henry Drummond, The Greatest Thing in the World, is a lovely publication that gives some details on this topic. And when Mary Baker Eddy was asked what would she change if she were writing it or had the authorization to edit it or update it or whatever, she said nothing. Nothing would I change. It gets the message across exactly the way it is. Love is the lubricant that makes everything else work. That is where to begin, and that should be where one ends. Everything else that needs to be tended to should be sandwiched in between love as the beginning and the finale. Here are some statements from Mary Baker Eddy's writings about pray without ceasing. The first one is from Science and Health, the chapter on prayer, page 15, beginning line 14, under the title Effectual Invocation. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. Previously, a quote had been read that was Mary Baker Eddy's statement about the system, and I will repeat it here. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based. The sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. The reason to revisit this now is that we must break the word apart that is the word disease. And it really means exactly the two words that are comprised as the word. It is a dis-ease. That means that anything that is unlike God is a disease. Because it is a disease, it is a discord. Only God-like qualities are harmonious. Everything else is a dis-ease. That would include sin, sickness, and death. It would include anything that is a discord, anything that is imperfect in accordance with the standard of divine mind, with the standard of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That covers a broad field of belief, both individual and universal. And everything in between. So when we pray aright, as referred to in the quotation from prayer on page 15, and it says we must take up the cross, that cross is far and wide, both conscious and unconscious. And that does not mean we carry the cross around with us, but we have to do what Jesus did and carry it up the hill. One of the words used to define life is exaltation. So when we are first introduced to the idea or the thought, because idea really should be used and confined with things of God, so I'll call it a thought. So when we are first introduced to the thought by whatever means, whether it is suggestion or comparison, whatever devious way that mortal mind, the belief of mortal mind, tries to enter it into our consciousness, we must include it as what we must face to analyze, expose it, uncover it completely, so that it can be eradicated. We cannot be in a state of denial where we are just ignoring it. This is one of several reasons that the reference referred to regarding the 1,315 topics covered by Mr. Rawson is so important, is because we need to discover what the error is and explain it away scientifically, which means we must know the counterfact. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy makes that very statement, that we must know the counterfact to the disease in order to heal it. And Mr. Rawson has made it very easy, because he provides the universal belief about the disease or about the problem, whatever it is. And one thing that's very important to keep in mind is that very often the real cause of what we are seeing as a symptom is not the cause of the symptom. That universal belief needs to be faced, but the real cause may be quite different. To give you a very simple example, let's suppose that you are in some form of transportation on your way to an important meeting that is going to have a major impact on something that could benefit mankind. And you are working toward making that come real and be implemented so that it will benefit mankind. And let's suppose the form of transportation you are using fails for whatever reason. It could be a mechanical failure, it could be an accident, it could be weather that prevents it from moving, whatever. We've all been probably in a rain that was so heavy that you couldn't see and had to pull over, or a fog, or maybe a heavy snow that required one to turn back or turn off the road and wait for a snowplow or whatever. The real cause of the problem could be a universal belief to try to prevent that progress from taking place. That has nothing to do with the weather or the mechanics of the vehicle that you might be in, but it could be much more concealed. The symbol of medicine is a snake. Not only that, but a coiled snake. Snakes are known for their deceit. The belief of mortal mind is a snake from beginning to end. Jesus emphasized that evil thoughts were tantamount to evil acts. Evil thoughts are motive, and it's just one step away from an evil act. Thought, speech, and action are all important to consider. One doesn't even want to look like they're in an evil act. Certainly, one should not say anything about wanting to be involved in one, and one should not have any thought about being involved in one, or even thinking about it. Unless, as Mary Baker Eddy said, it is for the purpose of purifying the atmosphere. In Miscellaneous Writings, page 154, beginning on line 16, she states, "It is the purpose of divine love to resurrect the understanding and the kingdom of God, the reign of harmony already within us. Through the word that is spoken unto you, are you made free. Abide in His word, and it shall abide in you. And the healing Christ will again be made manifest in the flesh, understood and glorified. Honor thy father and mother God. Continue in His love. Bring forth fruit. Signs following. That your prayers be not hindered. Pray without ceasing. Watch diligently. Never desert the post of spiritual observation and self-examination. Strive for self-abnegation, justice, meekness, mercy, purity, love. Let your light reflect light." That's a capital L. "Have no ambition, affection, nor aim apart from holiness. Forget not for a moment that God is all in all. Therefore, that in reality, there is but one cause and effect." She is defining what pray without ceasing means. Watch diligently. Never desert the post of spiritual observation and self-examination. Strive for self-abnegation, justice, meekness, mercy, purity, love. Let your light reflect light. Have no ambition, affection, nor aim apart from holiness. Forget not for a moment that God is all in all. Therefore, that in reality there is but one cause and effect. In the very beginning says, honor thy father and mother God. Continue in his love. Bring forth fruit, that your prayers be not hindered. There's the definition of pray without ceasing from beginning to end. It has nothing to do with asking for something. Communication is one way with God. God is. The image is an image, a reflection of God. The image cannot change the source. Mary Baker Eddy states that petitioning God for something has one benefit, and that is it could possibly condition the individual's attitude to be one that is more humble, because they are recognizing there is something that is beyond themselves. That's it. And there's much written about prayers being unanswered. Remember, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What is our view? Do we think we are lacking something? Wentworth Winslow, one of the authors listed on the website, was a catalyst for a lot of healings, including raising one from the belief of death. And he wrote something over 100 or 125 articles, each one between 1 and 3 or 4 pages. Each one really is independent of the other ones, so one could read an article and get the complete idea in a short period of time. Not that only a short period of time should be allocated to it, but in referring to what Mary Baker Eddy has stated, that often the difference between success and failure is how one uses the moments. And of course, moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. So if one has a short period of time in between scheduled appointments, for example, they would have time to actually read an article and get the idea, and then they could always go back later and study it more thoroughly. But one of the articles he wrote referred to an individual that decided he would appeal to heaven for help. You know, a petition to God. So he arrived at the gates, and the angel that answered the door said, "How may I help you?" And they said, "Well, we need this." Whatever it is not important. And the angel said, "Just a moment." So he went to discuss it with God himself. And God said, "Well, we have everything. Give him whatever he needs and as much of it as he wants." And the angel said to God, "But I didn't make myself clear. These people want something that they think they can run out of. And we don't have anything like that available." So God replied the same thing. Give them whatever they want and as much as they want. But you see, they were talking on a different level. Just like when Peter was talking to Jesus. And he said, "Do you love me?" He was talking on one level, and Peter was answering on another level. Jesus was talking about divine love, and Peter was answering about human love. And he asked him three times. So if we are petitioning God for spiritual qualities, then that means we are lowering our ego and raising our value of spiritual qualities. We're replacing the material with the spiritual. And that's what pray without ceasing is all about. Something else to keep in thought is that so often when we think there is a need, we may not realize that the need that we have could be supplied with something that we already have. Wentworth Winslow, again, wrote an article about an engineer, mining engineer, and he was out of work and in a desperate situation financially. And when he met with Mr. Winslow, they didn't talk about anything in particular other than the fact that he had a very substantial financial need and he was a qualified mining engineer. And he didn't know where to look for a contract or an assignment. And when he came to Mr. Winslow for assistance, they didn't talk about a job or where he might find a job. In other words, they didn't talk about the symptom and solving the symptom. They talked about the bigger picture. They talked about who is God, what is God, and who is that individual that was sitting across the desk from him. It was generic man. He was seeing the real man. And he was enlightened, the patient was enlightened, to see the real God. A God that was not a God of lack, and therefore an image couldn't be a God of lack, but God was a God of abundance, completeness. And therefore the image had to have that same characteristic. He left the office feeling uplifted, but still had no idea where he would get a job. And as he was walking away from the office, just after leaving the appointment, it occurred to him that he had information about a contact that was familiar with his background and qualifications, and this was an introduction to him in the form of a letter that he had never used. He had never made contact with the individual. And the thought occurred to him that he should contact him. And he did, and that individual didn't have any work for him, but he knew someone that did. And so he referred him to a contact that he had. And the engineer ended up being employed for whatever was needed. And ever since that time, he's not had any problem. Because he looked up to what God was, and therefore what his image had to be. And it could never be one that was in lack. God could not make or have an image that was in lack, could not have one that had qualities unlike itself. The source has to have the same qualities as the reflection. And he saw that clearly enough that he was led to do what exactly needed to be done to solve the problem. The key to healing is to get thought off of the problem and focus on what God is, realizing that God includes his manifestation, which is you, me, everyone, and that does not include lack. It does not include lack of health or anything else. It does not include lack of anything that is needed for our human experience. And we need to do what Solomon did and pray first. Solomon prayed that he would have the wisdom to govern his kingdom fairly and honestly. And then shall these things be added unto you. So we look to God for a better understanding by studying what God is and living it. Helen Wright's book entitled Your Divinity Revealed has 7 chapters that are exclusively on the 7 synonymous terms for God. If one studies those chapter at a time, they would definitely have the opportunity to uplift their understanding to new levels, new dimensions, a new universe that they didn't realize was there. She devoted her entire adult life to understanding more about God. She's the only one that we are aware of that wrote a series of books on the first edition of Science and Health, the one that was published in 1875. Mary Baker Eddy stressed how important that edition was, and yet no one else that we know of did any analysis of those chapters in that book. Very, very important series of publications. And Your Divinity Revealed is considered the final of that, which is book number 7, because it then put everything together that was in the other books to define God. And the relationships that she has found in connecting the dots is very helpful. Again, that's on our website, mbeinstitute.org. 7 treatments have just recently been completed, one on each of the 7 synonymous terms that explains in detail how the 7 synonymous terms work together. And in those 7 MP3s, they use the exact words that Helen Wright uses in her book, which is what Mary Baker Eddy uses to describe, define, and understand better what Mary Baker Eddy means by each of the words of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as defined in the book Science and Health, Chapter 14, Recapitulation, on page 465. So the key is to remember, if we want to know how to heal, is to first look to God, that He is, it is, she is, because God is everything. God is all there is. So He is all female qualities, all male qualities that are deemed to be that, but in essence, everything is generic, impersonal. But we look to God being all in all source, all manifestation, all one. Man being included as the key manifestation of God, because God works through man. As man works, that is God working, because man is reflecting the qualities of God. And if we want to be powerful, all we have to do is follow what Mary Baker Eddy says, and that is that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. So spend our life doing correct activities, wholesome activities, activities that benefit mankind, all mankind. No partiality, no personality. In fact, the best way to do good things is to do it anonymously. Don't be like the people that give millions or hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars and want their name on the building. Try to do it without a name. Give it for giving, not for recognition, for giving. If we devote our time to getting a better understanding of God all day long, we can practice it, then we will definitely advance in our level of success with healing. Because there is nothing but God. Amen.